What's up, guys? I'm Jared Lopes, and you're listening to the Dad Tired Podcast, where I'm helping everyday families learn how to follow Jesus in everyday life. How's it going, guys? Jared Lopes back with you on the Dad Tired Podcast, and it's good to be with you. If you are new to the whole Dad Tired thing, it's good to have you. Dad Tired is essentially a group of guys who are just trying to take their faith, their family, and their marriage very seriously. And we'd love to have you be part of that group. You can do that by going to dadtired.com and clicking the community tab. And that will link you over to a closed group on Facebook where we got a bunch of guys who are just taking this stuff seriously. They're confessing sin and praying for each other and encouraging each other, getting advice and all that good stuff. So you are more than welcome to be part of that group. We would love to have you be part of that group. Again, go to dadtired.com and click the community tab. I was just, I'm based in Portland, Oregon. I spent the last week over on the East Coast for work. I own a company that we do videos for other businesses. And so we were working with the business out there, documenting some of the Hurricane Matthew damage and how this business just dealt with all of that. But as I was there, some guys from the Dad Tired community caught wind that I was there, and just super cool just to see the hospitality and graciousness of the guys saying, hey, can I buy you a coffee? Can we get together? You want to hang out? You have a place to stay? I had messages and emails of guys that were just being really hospitable. And unfortunately, I didn't have a chance to hang out with any of you guys because I was working like crazy, but I do want to go back out and obviously hang out. So that's kind of the Dad Tired community. We're really serious about not just having this like online group, but more about meeting other guys who are serious about this stuff and who can encourage you and all that. So if you're not part of it, we'd love to have you be part of it. Come hang out on dadtired.com. Also, it is December and Christmas season. I'll probably take a break on the podcast, maybe in the last week or two. I don't know. This is my first Christmas as a podcaster, and I heard it's typical for people to take breaks during that time, and because everyone's busy with family and stuff. So I may or may not, if you don't see a podcast pop in the next couple of weeks, it's probably because I'm just deciding to take a break as everybody else takes a break. But I don't know. God's always laying stuff on my heart. So I feel like I don't know if I can take a break. There's always stuff I want to share, and I'm not good at remembering it either. So I'll probably forget it if I don't share it. But with that said, I did just today put on the blog on dadtired.com, I put 5 books on there that are really good. If you're looking for a Christmas gift for your wife, or if you're a woman listening for your husband, you want some Christmas gifts for your husband or for your kids, I just put some books on there that I think are really good. They'd make great gifts. And even if they're not gifts, just good books that are going to really help point your marriage and your family towards Jesus. So you can check out that blog post on dadtired.com and get some books. This morning, I guess you're probably, I don't know when you're listening to it. It's morning right now. This morning for me, I wanted to talk about just 3 things that I've been processing in my marriage that I think might be helpful for you and your marriage. As I kind of process out loud, it seems that other guys can relate, and we're all kind of going through the same stuff together. And so I just want to point out 3 things that have been sticking out to me in the last few months. If you've been listening to the podcast for the last year that we've been on, and especially for the last couple of months, you know that I'm always honest about my journey and my crap. And I am honest. I share with you guys a lot about how the kind of the junk and the hurt that I've gone through and that I go through. And I do that not to just like point back to me, because really, it's whatever, like my story is my story and it's nothing amazing, but I do it for 2 reasons. One is because I want other guys, I want you to be able to feel like you can confess sin and share your junk and share your crap with other people. And you can do it with confidence because you know that there's a God that loves you ridiculously. And the whole premise of the gospel is the very fact that we have crap, and that Jesus, despite our crap, saves us and pursues us and is relentless in his love towards us. If we don't get that, and if we don't feel confident to share our stuff that would should give us shame, then I think we don't fully understand the gospel. The gospel allows us to expose all of our sin because it leads us to celebrate how amazing God's grace is. I can tell you how much of a sinner I am because it points back to Jesus and his amazing grace. I'm always going to mess up. I'm always going to sin. It doesn't matter if I've been a Christian for 5 minutes or 50 years or 500 years, I'm always going to sin. And being a Christian doesn't mean I stop sinning. It just means I get to keep celebrating the good news that Jesus has taken me from enemy, from like sinner, from destined towards death and destruction. And he's instead brought me in and adopted me in his family and brought me to life. And so I share with you because it's good news. It's good news that I'm a jacked up, broken, messed up dude. And yet Jesus pursued me. And so I share, yeah, I've got crap and I don't feel good about it, but more than that, I can rejoice that Jesus has saved me, that he keeps loving me and he keeps pursuing me. And then it gives me motivation to keep loving and to pursuing my wife and my kids because I'm connected to the fact that that's what Jesus has done for me. So that's the first reason I share it. And I don't even remember what the, second reason was. First one was good enough. So this is classic. I was just telling somebody on this trip that I was just on that I always start with like a number when I'm talking to somebody. I'll say like, hey, two thoughts, or hey, three things, or hey, real quick, five things. And I do that for my own sake so I can try to remember, like list out what I was hoping to say. But apparently that didn't work that time because I have no idea what the second one was. Maybe I blended the two. Anyway, let's get through it. Here are three things that I've been learning in the last few months in my marriage as I'm trying to pursue my wife and fall in love with Jesus and have those two things come together. And we wrestle, my wife and I fight and we argue and there's pain and all of that is normal. If you're experiencing that, that's normal. But you don't, it's good marriages are not ones that don't fight. Good marriages are ones that learn how to fight. And that's what we're learning. We're 7 years in. We've just started. We're rookies. We're 7 years in. And we've got a lifetime to go. And so we will continue to learn how to fight and learn how to respect each other and learn how to stay connected to Jesus and learn how to give more grace because Jesus keeps giving us more grace and learn how to keep forgiving because Jesus keeps forgiving. That is marriage. And so here are three things that I've learned in the last few months as I've tried to fall in love with Jesus and fall more in love with my wife. Number one, is to initiate hard conversations. And I know that may sound simple, but man, this is, for whatever reason, I've noticed that guys are the ones that are reactive when it comes to hard conversations. And by that, I mean that we're not proactive. So it's oftentimes that our wife says, hey, I want or I need to talk to you about something. And that's never fun words to hear, right? If that comes over a text or a voicemail, or you walk in the door and your wife says, we need to talk. It's never great. It's never followed up by like, we need to talk. I have the most amazing dinner prepared for you in the kitchen and you're going to walk in here and your mind is going to be blown. It's like nachos and I didn't hold back on toppings. There's so many amazing like, those words are never followed up with something amazing. It's usually we need to talk. You've messed up or there's some friction or I'm not feeling loved. Or there's something that we've been burying under the rug. And so typically, generally, the wives are the ones that are trying to initiate heart-to-heart, hard conversations. And so one thing I've learned in the last few months is us as guys need to be part of our leadership role is to initiate hard conversations. You be the one to say, babe, we need to talk, or I would like to talk to you. And part of that may be the kind of the next steps out of that might be, I need to repent. I need to share. I need to pursue your heart. Whatever it is, I think part of us leading as men is to be able to not just step into hard conversations, but to lead into hard conversations. There are things, I always say this to guys. I've said this multiple times on Dad Tired. We continue to pursue the heart of our wife because Jesus continues to pursue your heart. He did not just say, hey, pray this prayer. I can check your name off. Now you get to heaven and I'm moving on. Jesus has a reputation and God has a reputation of constantly and consistently chasing after your heart. He gets closer and closer and closer and closer. And so then he says, now love your wives the way that I've loved you. And so we can't check a box and say, I'm now married. I've got to know everything I need to know about my wife. That is not how marriage works. That's not how biblical manhood works. Marriage says, I've committed my life to you, and now I'm committed to pursuing you for the rest of my life, to pursuing your heart for the rest of my life. And so marriage is constantly saying, I'm going to bring it up again, or I'm going to bring up a hard conversation again, or I'm just going to sit down and ask, babe, how is your heart doing? And that can be a scary question because it's vulnerable. She may say, not good. Or, babe, are you feeling loved in our marriage? Like, do you feel valued? Do you feel safe? Am I giving you a place where you feel safe emotionally and physically, spiritually? How is your heart feeling? And how can I help you? How can I continue to love you better so that you feel more safe and more confident and secure in our love? How can I help point you towards Jesus to lead our family towards Jesus? Lead your family by leading them into hard conversations. Don't be reactive, be proactive. Proactively step into hard conversations. That's the first thing I'm learning. Second thing is, we are in as men and as married people, a marathon, not a sprint. And here's the thought that made me think about this. I'm the most guilty out of anybody I know of this, but I've certainly heard many, many guys talk about this. This is how men typically work. Again, I'm making really general statements here. I apologize for that. Obviously, everyone's unique. Sometimes it's the woman, sometimes it's man, sometimes it's both, whatever. I'm making general statements here and mainly giving examples from my own life. But generally in my marriage, and what I found in other guys, is that we will make short bursts of effort into our marriage and then expect that short burst to have a long-term payout. Easy example of that would be, I bought you flowers, and so I expect more sex for the next few weeks or for the next few months. Or that may be kind of I'm being a little bit facetious there, but not really. Like, hey, I cleaned the house. I unloaded the dishwasher, and I expect us to not have a fight for the next 6 months. I bought you a gift, or I hung out with the kids, or I went a little extra above and beyond. And so now I expect you to give me some free time so I can watch sports or go hang out with the guys for however long. We do short bursts of good and then expect long-term. And I'm just going to be real with you. You know, I'm always real with you guys, right? Like, how this typically plays out is in regards to sex for guys. And so what we often do is we will give short bursts of good behavior, and we think that that will equate towards more physical intimacy with our wife. And if it doesn't quickly, then we become very bitter. And it's just not going to work that way. We are in a marathon. We are not in a sprint. And by that, I mean, even like, there have been times in our marriage, there have been plenty of times in our marriage that I've actually hurt my wife. I've deeply hurt her. In many ways I've like, man, I could go in all kinds of different directions here, and I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. If you've listened to the podcast, you know I've hurt my wife, and I'm trying my best to love my wife and figure out what it means to be a husband that pursues her, makes her feel safe, and makes her feel loved and pursued and all of that, like we all are. And so, what I get guilty of is I can go like a week, which will turn into 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a month, 2 months, 3 months, and I'm doing really well as far as behavior, and I'm just treating my wife well, and I'm treating my kids well, and then I start to put kind of unspoken expectations on my wife as a result of that. And if she then says, hey, man, I'm still hurting from that thing 3 months ago, I get really upset. Because I'm like, what more can I do here? Or I've been behaving well or whatever. And I'm learning that marriage is a marathon. It is not a sprint. I heard one person say this one time that trust takes a lifetime to build and a minute to ruin. And that is, man, that's so true. Your reputation takes a lifetime to build and just a minute to be ruined. And so it's a long-term thing. I've heard guys say, well, I've been treating her well, and she just won't sleep with me or be physical. I have an excuse to look at porn. Dude, no, you don't. This is not a sprint. Your behavior does not equal all of a sudden her good behavior. This is not a works-based marriage in the same way that your salvation is not a works-based thing. Jesus did not love you and pursue you based on your behavior. And so that's not how marriage works. You don't love and pursue your wife based on her behavior, and she should not be loving and pursuing you based on your behavior. This is a long term. This will take your intimacy towards each other, your emotional connection towards each other will not happen overnight because of one flowers or one gift or a few months of behaving well. Like, this is going to take month after month, year after year, decade after decade of laying your life down to pursue your wife. And one guy was just saying, like, man, I'm exhausted. What am I supposed to do? And I said, be a doormat. Like, that's what you're supposed to do. Be a doormat. You lay down and you serve your wife for years and for years and years, because that's what Jesus has done for you. Over and over and over again, he allowed himself. He took off the riches of heaven. He came down to earth. He washed your feet. He served. He moved into the ghetto of humanity so that he can love and pursue you and relate to you and draw you back to himself. And that's what we do for our wives over and over and over again. Marriage is a marathon. It is not a sprint. The last thing I will say here, the last thing I've been learning is this. Do less. If you want to have a healthy marriage and a healthy family, do less, man. Especially if you're in the United States listening to this, we are so busy. We are addicted to busyness, which makes us feel more productive, which makes us feel valuable. And dude, let me tell you, your value does not come in how busy your calendar is and how productive you are at work or even around the house or building stuff or accomplishing stuff or building a bigger portfolio or putting more money in your bank account. Your value is that you are loved by Jesus, the God of the universe. So rest. Rest, dude. Allow your family to rest. Take a break. I'm not talking like a one-day Sabbath. I'm like talking about clearing your schedule and being present. Not on your phone, not with TVs on, not working hard, taking calls all the time. Be present. When you are with them, be with them. And this is probably the thing that is sinking real deep into my heart in the last few months. I've gotten completely off social media with the exception of just the dad tired Facebook and Instagram, those kinds of things. But I don't have personal social media accounts anymore. And that's part of me just like decluttering. I've decluttered my life, my stuff, my schedule, as many things as I can to get rid of stuff so that I can be fully present. And I am practicing being fully present in the moment, which I'm terrible at. I think we are terrible at as a society. And so if you want a better marriage, if you want a more healthy marriage, you want to be a better dad, do less. Take your kids out of a million things. Don't sign them up for everything. Don't do a million different things. Spend less. Do less. Be fully present with your family and with your kids. When your wife is talking to you, look her in the eyes. Give her every ounce of your attention. This is the long-term game, man. It's not a short-term sprint. It's a marathon. Do less and be fully present. When your kids talk to you, whatever you're doing, stop and look at them in the eye. Let them see that daddy has, that they have their daddy's attention, much like when you pray. Your father is listening. You have the full attention of the God of the universe. So as you pray, he listens. And when your kids talk to you, you listen. You let them know that there's nothing more important than them. Not work, not sports, not video games, not stuff, but them. Your wife and your kids, listen, you will have a million different jobs, a million different projects. You will have a million different titles. All kinds of things will come and go, but you will die a husband and a father. Give it all you've got. Be fully present. I love you guys. Those are three things I'm learning. I hope that this is helpful for you. As always, you guys have been so gracious, but if you've If you're not subscribed, would you consider subscribing? Also, would you consider leaving a review? It continues to put us on the front page of iTunes, which we've been on for several months. And those reviews keep us on the front, which means that more and more guys get to experience the good news of Jesus, so they get to find other guys who are trying to figure this stuff out. It is the best thing that you can do. If you enjoy the podcast, would you help us out by subscribing and leaving a review? I love you guys. Thank you so much for all that you do for Dad Tired. I'm glad that you are here, and I look forward to talking to you next week. See ya.